Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Guys, thank y'all so much. Appreciate you. I don't know if the kids are going to use it. Okay. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who wants my music? Anybody? 1,000? Was you smelling your armpit? I learned that from Howdy. Glory be to God. I figure if you're not having fun in church, you're doing it wrong. Amen. We serve a fun God. It's an honor to have visitors this morning. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, thank you for coming. You didn't have to come. You could have stayed fixing water pipes. And I don't know if y'all know it, but so with the break in a 90 that was, water was flowing out the back. And there's a little, kind of like a pump house right outside, and it has a pump. The well is all the way, it seems like a half a mile down the... We got three big tanks that make sure we stay full of water, especially during the rodeo. We have a carnival y'all know about, and by the way, I believe the carnival is going to get to be at the rodeo, so we're gonna have fun. That's coming up in April. But all the carnival people have to have water, and one year we ran out, and so Joe Eddie McDearman, I want to thank just personally. He's not watching, I'm sure, because he told me yesterday that he ordered 20 pumps like ours that froze and cracked, and he only got two. And guess where one came? Amen. And but I didn't have to threaten much. I told him, just personally that God would deal with him if he didn't get this church. I'm kidding. But you know what? What a blessing that he said, no, we're going to get the church going first. And then he's 40 people that have no water that he's having to deal with today and through the week. And so I lift Joe Eddie up. But listen to me. I know we had lots of going-ons and people without water and without electricity and I know that it was a tough time. We have never seen weather like we saw for 1 week. To see it in the minus in wind chill and 5 degrees, and I called a friend and he lost a lot of cattle. And he had them strong, but they just couldn't handle the, and so it was a tough deal. And so I know you could be at home and you could be tending to some things at your houses. I know in Austin that there's apartments that are shut down, water breaks. We had a water break in the women's bathroom first after we got the pump or the little pump fixed. And some of the piping fixed, and Polo, what a blessing. Polo is a man that came and he got after it, and then of course Heidi and Daryl, what a blessing they've been to just try to get this church mopping. My office and Heidi's office was full of water, and we're going to have to tend to a few things, because when you do things debt-free like we do here, everything's debt-free, these buildings, then when you add on, amen, you have to ad lib a lot of times on your add-ons, because it was designed to have it all done at one time. Well, I don't know about y'all, but this building right here cost a lot of money. Just the floor cost $100,000 or more. And so doing it all debt free. Anyway, so it's caused a few problems with the gutters and the water was just running down. And so the point is the men's bathroom, we found another leak in the wall, and so we capped it off, and we're, the men are having to go to the kids' church. But thank God we have some bathrooms, amen? And thank God we're going to get through it. So with that said, I realize that a lot of people could have stayed at home. There's probably several watching that just can't get out or whatever. But if you're new and you've never been to Cowboy Church, thank you for coming. And here's what I want to do. Hopefully when you came in, there was someone to greet you, give you a visitor package. If not, I want you to get one right now. But if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you allow us, just right where you're at, just to welcome you? All we need to know is who you are. If you've never been to Cowboy Church, would you raise your hand and let this church welcome you the right way? Thanks for coming, y'all. Thank y'all for coming. Thank y'all for coming in the back. Anybody on this side? Thanks for coming, my brother. Really appreciate it. Inside the packet is a visitor card and a pen. If you didn't get one, then please do. If you did get one, pull it out, fill it out for us, and we have a team that will call you one time and just welcome you. Thank you for coming. If you have questions about the church, your prayer request, then let them know it. We got a great prayer team that meets here, intercessory prayer, and a very important group to me, primarily because they pray for me. Amen. And I need it in lots of ways. Praise God. Well, with the same enthusiasm, I want you to clap for tithes and offerings, please. Now, y'all that are new, sometimes when I'm gone, people don't know, and I think they're new, and they've been here a time or two, and I've been gone for a couple weeks. By the way, look at me just real fast. How many of you watched us online last week? I know we couldn't even get here because of the... Okay, so a lot of people watched online. And Jamie and my mom were filming, and then I was very proud of Brandon. Brandon, wave at everybody. He gave his testimony. Brandon, I'm going to tell it just because I can. You know, he's brand new in the ministry, and God's just put him in our life to mentor and show. It's kind of what happened to me. My spiritual dad, Glenn Smith, took my family under his wing, him and Ann, and they were the pioneers of the cowboy movement in the 1970s. There was no one going to the rodeos, to the cuttings, to the horse shows, until Glenn and the few that God called began to pioneer. And Glenn was the one that began to minister at all the rodeos. The first national finals rodeo church service in Oklahoma City, 1970 some odd, maybe 78, had like 1,800 people, and a lot of them gave their lives to Jesus. And so that's what birthed a cowboy church. And y'all that are new, Cowboy Church is really nothing other than we minister to a different group of people, as well as a lot of, you know, everybody comes, but we really minister to a Western person that has this mentality that they don't fit in church because of the way they dress. You have ranchers and farmers, I mean millions of them, that, and rodeo people, etc., that they just do their business on the weekends and they can't go to church. And so we started taking church to them. 1983 or 4 is when my family began to minister to the cowboy world, just because we were a ranching family and rodeo people. We were ropers, and so we started ministering to them. But you'll find out that you also not just reach the people that, you know, we try to teach, just come as you are. You know, if it's from work, you come. I want you to feel comfortable here, but we also reach people that's been burnt in churches. I think the Lord calls cowboy churches to really get popular because I think it's time that we don't have to play church. We are the church. Amen. And when you understand that, then there's a lot of freedom just to worship Him the way that we should. I'm telling you, this church right here is a very well-known church across the country, because a lot of ministers come to this church. Sometimes we don't even know it. A guy came from, and his wife came from San Francisco, and I never knew he was a pastor, but he was beat up. And he had to get here to get built up, and then about a year of being here and getting fired back up, he headed back out and began to minister again. There's a lot of ministers that are here today, and some that know that there's a calling on their lives, but they've either been give out, tired, beat up, and there's time for restoration. So what we never do is leave out things in the Bible. And one area is finances. And since I don't take a salary at this church, and people just, I mean, it has to be God-led for you to give to me and my wife. If I make you mad, step on your toes, you can say, I'm not giving to that little rascal. You know. But that what it does for me then is to make sure God's my provider, and I have to trust in Him. Okay, what that then teaches is y'all have to do the same thing. You need to trust and make God your provider, not your business, not your job, not the ranch, not the farm. God has to be the provider. And then in the midst of it, He'll bless you, and He'll cause you to owe nobody but to love them. Amen? And so I found this scripture, and it's found in Deuteronomy, and I want you to write it down, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Listen to me. Here's what it says. But thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives thee the power to get wealth. Now, listen to me just real fast. Obviously, money has a lot of power. I mean, man, it was flooded in our election, right? I mean, lots and lots of money trying to get out to get someone elected and so on. It's got a lot of power. It can be either used very negatively, very evil, or it can be used in a positive way. Okay? When you understand that it's God that gives you the power to get wealth, then you start using money, and money doesn't start using you. God wants you, listen to me, God wants all of us to have an abundance of money. He just doesn't want money to have us. Because if it has you, then you're not helping anybody that needed water. And you're not helping anybody that is desperate. I mean, I told people, get over here and take a shower. We have warm water. I mean, I want to always have the heart to bless people. Because when you operate in God's economy, in God's kingdom ways financially. By the way, the reason that I know about how many times God talks about finances in this Bible? You know how many times, by the way? Y'all that have been here so many times, you should know it. You should say it with me. God talks about the Word of God financially 2,036 times. You know why I know that? Because we didn't have any growing up. Dad was a horseshoer, a rancher. He rode colts. He would line 10 colts up, saddle them, and then us three boys would help him ride them. One colt would take an hour because he was stubborn. Matter of fact, me and my brother was saddling one time. Does anybody know what cow kicking is? A cow kick is when they come from behind and go forward and kick you. I was in front, my brother was beside me, and we were just saddling this horse, kind of trying to get him calmed down, and you know, that's what you do to a colt. A young horse, you gotta sack them out. You gotta get them used to all the noise and the movements and all that thing. And this horse kicked both of us at the same time. We fell to the ground as if our legs were broke and life was over. Dad said, get up, boy. You know, cause that's the way Dad was. If you got run over by a train, if you survived it, he would say, get up, we got work to do. Yeah, but Dad, I got hit by a train. Yeah, but it don't matter. We got work to do, son. Stop crying. When we understand that it is Him, God, that gives us that power to get wealth, then you start understanding how to use that power. And you start sowing the seeds, and then you start believing for the harvest. Listen to me. Here's the last thing I'll say before we give in these buckets. It's vital in these last days for us to get in God's economy. And the only way to do that is to trust. We've got to trust in Him. If you're not a tither, and when I travel the country and I'll say, "Are you a tither?" Lots of people, believe it or not, say, "What is that? What is tithing?" Which tells me then you're not in God's economy. Genesis 8 and 22 says, "While the earth is still here," while it remains in the King James, "seed, time, harvest will never end. The day and the moon, the sun and the..." And so it says some other stuff, but it first says seed, time, harvest. Any good farmer knows when you plant the seed, the most important part is the harvest. It's time we get the harvest. Why? Because it's God that gives us that power to get wealth. Amen? And so let's start being a blessing to our community. Let's start being a blessing to people. Let's get out of debt. Let's owe no one but to love them. Amen? So come give with a big old shout of praise, would you? Oh, Jesus, we love you. All right, kiddos. All the kids are going to, as we're getting, we're going to get you. Yeah, good idea. Usually John doesn't have enough. Glory be to God. Well, I don't know how they're going to do it, but are the kids going to come marching in or something? Sounds good to me. All right. Welcome as the music fades off. Good, good. You need that first, okay? Make sure it's on, okay? Is it on? Lights flowing? Okay, you're up.
We were supposed to sing last week on Valentine's Day, but they sang it this morning, okay? And you know what, y'all? It's about love. Not just Valentine's Day, but every day. And I've seen, and I know y'all have too, seen such outpourings of love this week. It is amazing. It is amazing. And these kids, I've decided from now on when they march in, they're going to march in to Lord's Army because that's their favorite song, gets them all fired up. And y'all know this song too. Okay, so we're going to march them in with that. Then we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, Love Lifted Me, and Oh Happy Day. Everybody's with the Oh Happy Day today, right? Because we are out of the snow. All right. Okay, so we're going to march them in to the Lord's Army. Y'all ready? All my kids back there? That's the Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's Army. I'm in the Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army. Yes, sir. Y'all say, yes, sir.
Yeah. That kid's running around. Way to go, guys. All right. Good job. People online are probably like, was they singing? Next time we got to get you a mic. Yeah. That way everybody online can hear how precious that was. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Would y'all give them a big round, please? Amen. All right. Well, with that said, kids' church, the youth is going to stay in here. It's the last Sunday, or I believe youth stays in this week, but all the kiddos get to go to their classes with a big round of applause. Y'all ready? On three. One, two, three. Bye, kids. Are they already gone? No, they're gone. Oh, my bad. Where'd they go? That's all our kids? Usually we have like 1,000, 2,000 kids. Glory be to God. Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation. There's just one. Right, James? Revelation chapter 20. Praise the Lord. As I was praying a little bit ago, the Lord wanted me to deal with three things right quick. And let's do that. If you're new here, I think it's really important that we're led by the Spirit of God. I think too many times growing up in denominational churches and non-denominational and, you know, just different churches, there's an opportunity to get into a rhythm of how church is supposed to be. we do this at this time and that at that time, and we dismiss the kids and we do these areas right now. And you know, and at this church, I want to be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser. And of course, that's how you should be in your life. Don't try to please a man. You try to please God first. And then you'll be a blessing to men and women. And so I want to deal with some things. As I was praying, the Lord told me to pray over three issues that I want to tend to right now. There's people in here that the Lord really began to minister to me that has been having neck issues. And you've been dealing with it. If that's you, I want you to come here real fast. Just get up and come here. If you've been having neck issues. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason the Spirit of God wants to deal with this right now is because you have to understand that you're not supposed to accept those kind of things in your life, because you were created to be whole, nothing missing, nothing broken. And so there's times when by faith you got to step out and you got to tend to these issues. Now, y'all that are out there, you have no neck issues, right? And so a long time ago, the Spirit of God, He sent me over to the 3 John. And the 3 John says, I wish above all things that thou be in health, that thou prosper, that's material things, and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Growing up, I was, I was a healthy kid until, probably right out of high school, or no, right into college, actually. And I had stomach problems for 7 years. I was 130 pounds. Now I'm 177 as of yesterday. Okay. I checked. Amen. Finally, one day, as my stomach, everything would cramp in here, they took out 16 inches of intestines and a little bit of the colon. And a doctor came to me and he woke me up. Most of my church knows this, and y'all probably do too. They woke me up and said, you got a disease called Crohn's. Now, I had a decision right there. I could either say, okay, I accept that a doctor's report that says I have a disease called Crohn's, or, which is the fact, it was a fact, or I could believe the truth of the Word of God that says by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Mark 16 says to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Okay. So they all have no neck issues, but y'all do. So they're going to be in agreement with my prayer, and we're going to lay hands on you guys. I just want someone behind them, guys. And your job by faith, since you walked up here in front of people, is I want you to receive the healing power of God now. When that doctor woke me up, most of y'all know, and said I had a disease called Crohn's, I looked at him and I said, no, thank you. That's exactly what I said. No, thank you. Mm-mm. No, I don't. And he goes, son, you know how you nurses, you medical people, you get them right there in the chest and you just dig into them. Wake up, boy. Are you still asleep? Oh! He said, you got a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. And I said, no, sir. Mm-mm. I'm not receiving that. And they wheeled me to my room. I had tubes down my throat by this time. He comes in my room only one time. And this is the guy that cut me open, took out a lot of intestine. And he said, I don't know if you understood me. You have a disease called Crohn's. It's not curable, but it's manageable. And I said, mm-mm. Mom and Dad were with me. I had agreement. That's what you have right now, okay? You have agreement. And I shook my head, mm-mm. And he never came back to my room again. Before that, though, he said I would have to take medicine for the rest of my life. I would have to probably quit riding horses and rope. Right then, I knew there was a devil. Don't tell a cowboy that, right? But you know what? Not one time have I ever taken a pill. You know why? Because I decided not to receive the fact. I decided to believe the truth. And the truth of the Word of God overrides the fact. Amen? So, neck problems, you have no right in this man's body. So by the power of God, neck line up in Jesus' name, and we give you praise. When I finish, you just say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Neck issues, whatever it is, be mended. Straighten up, come in line in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And y'all just be agreeing about this. Y'all stretch your hands if you need to. Every neck issue in this man's body, line up now and be healed in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, be healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. You receive that? In the name of Jesus. We'll not have it any longer. Be healed in Jesus' name. I receive it. Say it. Father, in Jesus' name, every neck issue, every vertebrae, you get in line right now in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise. Everything that is tormenting the bodies of believers, be healed in Jesus' name. Say, I receive that. Now give God the praise. Okay? All right? Now listen to me. Just real fast, I want to deal with two more things, and I want to preach you a message about what's going to happen in the thousand-year reign. But I need to deal with this right now. If you've had issues with arthritis, I want you to stand to your feet. You don't have to come down here, but you've been, I mean, your fingers, your hands, your joints, you've been having issues in the joint areas. I want you to stand up right now. Come on. See, the power of God, the power of God is on you, and you need to receive it, and you don't need to stand for that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Come on. Father, in Jesus' name, every single person, every one of them that are standing up, by the way, put your hand over your heart. You get it over your heart. If we can get the belief system from your head down into your heart, that's when manifestations come. Every single person, sir, that is standing, with the agreement of all of us that may be sitting, we rebuke the name of arthritis. And we believe that the power of God, the name of Jesus, that's a name above arthritis, manifests in their life and they are healed. Their joints are working and they're fluid. And Father, that spirit of arthritis be gone in Jesus' name. Now you say, I agree and receive that. Amen? Okay, y'all sit down. Come on, give God praise. It's good. The last thing real fast that as I was praying, I believe the Lord wanted me to deal with was muscle issues. Now, this might go into vertebrae issues and neck issues, but you've been dealing with muscle issues in some areas of your body. The Lord didn't pinpoint it when I was praying. Sometimes He will. I'll get just a little, attention and some, in different areas, and I know God wants to deal with those areas. But if you've been having just issues with your muscles, stand up real fast. Come on. Mm-hmm. Glory be to God. Put your hand over your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Now here's what I want to do on this. I want everybody you see people that are standing, I want believers. If you don't believe in healing, then I don't want you praying. You probably never hear that at most churches. And the reason I say that is because there's power in agreement. If you don't believe that God heals, then there's no reason to put them on a list and pray over them. And that's how I was raised. I was raised in a denomination that says, God doesn't heal everybody. Oh, really? No, God heals all that would believe. All things are possible to him that believes. We've got to be believers of this word. Okay, So if you see someone standing around you, I want you to just a couple of people that are faith people, I want you to stand up and just go lay hands on them right now. Just go to that area. You're faith people. You believe by the power. You might have been healed in some of these areas. I just want you to lay hands on them and just begin to pray over them right now. And then I'll say a corporate prayer. Just be able, if you have a prayer language, just under your breath, just pray in the Spirit. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Father, it's time that the body of Christ gets whole the way you created them. Father, every person that is that stood, that is having muscle issues, it might just be where they're having cramps constantly in their muscles. Father, in Jesus' name, we say bodies line up and be healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Everyone that is having issues with muscles, we command those muscles to calm down now in Jesus' name. Come on. And Father, we give you glory. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Now say amen. All right, now real fast, y'all. I want you, anytime manifestation comes and there's healing, let's just do it right now. It wasn't long ago that some brothers came to me and they come up to me after the service, and they declared, "Hey, I'm telling you, I didn't want to come to church, but." Man, I came, but I've been having headaches, and the Lord dealt with me on headaches. And He said the minute we started praying, that those headaches that he had had since the Gulf War, that's been a long time ago, like what, 30 years ago? He's had headaches ever since the Gulf War. And he come to me and said, "I just want you to know that God healed me right then. Had headaches as I was going home." And so, turn on Mike. Where's Mike? Turn on this mic. It's blue. Turn on this mic. Anybody that just received healing and you know it, you felt it, I want you to come here and testify real fast. Come here and just tell me what happened last week. I mean, you just felt, you'd been dealing with some of these issues. Is this one on?
I just need to say that for like 5-6 years, I've had such neck pain that I had to get shots in my neck all the time and had to take medicine every 4 hours. And since that Sunday that you prayed over us, for 2 days after that, it tried to come back, and I just said, "Oh, no, you do not. The word of the Lord said, by His stripes I'm healed." And so that's been about a month ago, and I haven't taken one thing and haven't had 1 ounce of pain. Yes.
Hallelujah. I just now received a healing. I mean, it was fire of God coming down. I have a sciatic, sciatic nerve has been bothering me. So Marvin laid hands on me among other people, and there was fire coming out of his hand. And I am healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I am just,
good.
I feel like I'm drunk in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Well, hey, I want you to bend over. And I just want you to bend over and tell me what you feel.
I can touch my toes.
Anybody else? Always remember that when the manifestation, tell people and give God the glory. Not, it doesn't glorify you. God, He's the one that gets all the glory. Amen. Praise God. All right, we good? All right. Is everybody at Revelations 20? Revelation 20? It's easy to say that as, huh? Let's jump right into it real fast. I've got 20 minutes. Ooh, Jesus. Here, I'm talking about time, though. God says, don't worry about time, son. Okay, so to catch any of you up, last week during the online service that we had to do because the roads you could not get anywhere, very, very dangerous. I had to cancel not just the church, but I canceled a minister's conference in San Antonio that I'm in charge of, and ministers were flying in from all over. Billy Brim was coming to be the main speaker for us, and she was actually going to fly in her plane on Friday just to get there because she didn't think she'd be able to. And yeah, the whole town shut down on Monday, which would have been our main day, and you know, we wouldn't even be able to go eat, you know, anywhere. So there are times when we're going to use wisdom, and it doesn't have anything to do with shutting down the church. And so I told people during that telecast or whatever that the only time we will fight is if a government tells us we can't have church, and then we're gonna fight. But I was telling everybody, because there was an issue that people just didn't understand, the end times, when the Bible says that when Jesus appears with the archangel and he shouts that voice of a trumpet, I believe it's Archangel Michael, and he yells out that trumpet sound, and the Bible says that the dead in Christ rise first. And then us that are still here, the Bible calls us the elect. You better be born again. Jesus better be the Lord of your life. I didn't say going to church. I didn't say being a good person. I said Jesus better be the Lord of your life. Okay? Now, the Lord has opened up this message because of this pandemic and the signs of the times that are coming to pass right in front of our eyes. We saw a president of the United States get stopped with communication on social network, and just the control of us having to wear a mask and be social distance. And you notice in this church, we haven't done that from the beginning. And we don't have any outbreaks. You know why? Because I stayed and preached against the spirit of fear. Because fear tried to come on, and it's still on a lot of the churches that are around us. There are still churches that they still have to be separated. There's still church, they have services where they wear masks. And I'm not against a mask. If God tells you to wear one, you wear one. But just don't do it because of fear. You stay in faith. So it's opened up the end time messages. I've never preached in Revelation. I've never talked about the 1,000-year reign. Matter of fact, most people don't even know what a 1,000-year reign is. They didn't know after the tribulation we was going to come back for 1,000 years. We're going to read about this here in just a second. But there was some confusion on the dead in Christ rising, and people were saying, I thought that when you leave your body and it dies, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So why would the dead in Christ rise? Well, then we explained that. And we explained it last week, but anybody that didn't hear it, understand that the dead in Christ, the people that gave their lives to Jesus and then died, it doesn't matter if they were cremated, it doesn't matter if they died in a plane crash where they have no body, or if the body was actually buried. While we live here, we have a corruptible body. This body can get sick. It can go through a lot of things, this flesh. But the reason that the dead in Christ rise first is God gives the dead in Christ a glorified body where it cannot get sick. So they get a new body, praise God. You and I get the same thing, though. While we're here, we get a glorified body so that we don't get sick and things. Now, we're gone for 7 years of a tribulation time. And I'm here to tell you, the reason that I believe God has never allowed me to stop evangelizing out there in the fields. I mean, as y'all know, I'm gone probably 30% of the time, maybe more. Because God has called me to go tell people about Jesus, because I believe the harvest is now. It's time that the heart, that's why this ranch is called Harvest Ranch. Because people get saved here constantly. Growing up in our churches, if 10 got saved in a year, we rejoiced. But 4 to 5 to 6 people get saved almost every single service at this church. It's amazing. Well, out there, praise God, out there, people are getting born again too. So I still will go to the College National Finals Rodeo. I will still do a National Finals service. I will still do camp meetings. I will go and continue to preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world because no one else is willing to do it. And I know I'm the pastor of this church, but God set this church up like the Apostle Paul set up the church at Ephesians and Corinth and so on, the Galatians. So that we can, when I'm gone, there's people here that will preach the Word of God. So thank you, Howdy. Thank you, Ricky. Thank you, Rusty. And so on. We're going to continue to preach the Word of God. Okay? So with that said, we need to understand that there's going to be a 7-year tribulation, but then we come back for a 1,000-year reign. So let's read about it. Revelation chapter 20. Say amen if you're there. This is why I believe it's imperative to bring your Bible. I'm not going to put it up here right now. The Lord has not given me permission to put it on a screen where it causes people not to bring their Bibles. But I understand some preachers like to have it up there so they can go quicker. But let's look at Revelation chapter 20 verse 1. And here's what the Word of God says. Now, before I start reading it, I believe I'm going to read a lot of it out of the Amplified Version. It's going to help you understand it a lot. Now, I have the King James right beside it. King James Amplified. So we can look at both. In the King James in verse 1, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And the angel, he laid hold of the dragon." Now we know, because it tells us right here, who the dragon is, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. Now remember, y'all, look at me. This is after the 7-year tribulation that all of us are gone. Okay? We're not going to experience all of this. If you're not saved, you've got to give your life to Jesus today. Would y'all agree with that? I mean, stop waiting. Go ahead and give your life to Jesus and let's start serving Him. Verse 3. "And cast," remember, Satan, the devil, "into the bottomless pit and shut him up." Okay. That's a good thing. In the Amplified, it says it enclosed and sealed it above him, so that he should no longer lead astray and deceive and seduce the nations until the 1,000 years were at an end. After that, he must be liberated for a short time. I'm going to explain a lot of things real fast. Verse 4. "Then I saw thrones, and sitting on them were those to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentences was entrusted. Also I saw souls of those which had been slain with axes beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying for the Word of God, and who had refused to pay homage," this is the Amplified, "to the beast, permitting it to be stamped on their foreheads, or to not accept the mark, or permitted it to be stamped on their foreheads or on their hands." Because y'all know that during the 7-year tribulation, when all of us are in heaven, I don't have time to go there, but go look it up. There's going to be 144,000 Jews. This was when I was a kid. I was at the ranch in Iran, Texas, and some people came and they was Jehovah's Witness. Anybody ever raised Jehovah's Witness in here? You raised your hand before I finished my sentence. Have y'all ever been raised in, you know, in Jehovah? And Rusty. Let me finish, dog. I didn't mean to say dog. I've been around my kids, so I apologize. What's up, dog? You know, Anyway. During the tribulation, 144,000 Jews, and here's my story, at the ranch, a couple comes up, there's a Jehovah's Witness, and they wanted us to be one of the 144,000 people that would, that was a part of their church, that was the only people that would make heaven. And now they have had to change that because there's millions of Jehovah's Witness, you know, so. So they obviously was an error. And anyway, so 144,000 Jews are going to get born again, and they're going to evangelize during that 7-year tribulation. And isn't it cool that's how God is? He just wants to get you born again just one more time. Come on, one more chance. Give your life to Jesus. Well, there's going to be several that don't take that mark. They don't take that mark on their hand or their head. And during that 7-year tribulation, then they'll get their heads cut off, okay? And so that's what this is talking about. So that's going, it's coming off, guys. Carmen, that just died, great, great. Man, I love Carmen, the singer. He used to have a song about this is how you get ahead in the tribulation, you know. But y'all need to be born again before this happens, okay? So I just don't want to get my head cut off. So okay, where are we? Glory be to God. Okay, where was we at? Verse 4? Okay, so let's just start at 4. So I'll read it all. And this is the Amplified. Then I saw thrones sitting on them, where those who to whom authority to act as judges and to pass sentences was entrusted. Also I saw souls of those who had been slain with axes, beheaded for their witnessing to Jesus and for preaching and testifying. Again, this is in the tribulation. For the word of God. And who had refused to pay homage to the beast or to the statue and had not accepted his mark or permitted it to be stamped on his forehead or on his hands. And they lived again and ruled with Christ the Messiah 1,000 years. Now, the good news is they're going to get to be with us for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Verse 5. The remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years was completed. Now, let me tell you what that means. Because there's going to be people that refuse Jesus. They don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And this is who this is talking about. So we are going to be reigning with Jesus, by the way, without sin. And we'll read this because it'll help understand it. Because we're going to be living here for 1,000 years without the devil and his influence. Remember, at verse 1, he just got put into the bottomless pit. And so we're going to reign. Now, last week, if you watched the online service, I explained why God has to have us living in a 1,000-year reign. And it was for the promises to be fulfilled that God talked about with Israel, with us, etc., and with Jesus, and so on. And all of those promises that God made to us and to Jesus and to so on in Israel, they're going to come to pass during that 1,000-year reign. So the promises are going to be fulfilled. That's why we're going to be in a 1,000-year reign without a devil and his influence. And it's going to be so cool because everything's going to change. You'll find out when you read it that a lion will lay next to a lamb and not want to eat it. It's going to be a different nature, y'all. Now, listen to me. Before I go on, you can actually live this way now. I'm not saying you have a lion next to a lamb, but you don't have to live in anger. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in doubt. You don't have to live by the curse. Even though the curse is here and the nature of the devil is here, you don't have to participate in that nature because you've been given a new nature, the nature of God in Christ Jesus. Started to preach big time right then. Get excited. But let me hold back. Verse 5, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years was completed. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed, happy to be envied. I love that part in the Amplified. And holy, spiritually whole and unprepared, innocent and proved virtue is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. Over them, the second death exerts no power or authority. That's talking about all of us. It's talking about, I mean, we're going to live without the devil in his power over our lives. We're not going to have a sin nature during this 1,000-year reign. But they shall be ministers of God and of Christ the Messiah, and they shall rule along with Him 1,000 years. Praise God. And you want to be that person. You want to be the one that gives their life to Jesus. There's some confusion in the body of Christ, I believe, that I'm going to try to explain just real fast, if you would allow me to. And so when we get to this part, I'll let you know when it's going to happen. Verse 7. When the 1,000 years are completed, here we go, Satan will be released from his place of confinement. This has brought a lot of confusion to the church right here. Why would God release the devil? One more time. We just lived for 1,000 years. Now, granted, to God, remember the scripture that says 1,000 years is as of a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. So to God, it's only going to be a day. But for us, it's going to be 1,000 years that we're going to reign. Verse 8. He's going to be released from his confinement, and he will go forth to deceive and seduce and lead astray the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. You'll find that. That's kind of up in the region of Russia, etc. I talked to my brother Steve yesterday a lot about this. To muster them for war, their number is like the sand of the sea. Now, me and Brandon started talking about this. This might be the last, for time's sake, that I'm going to be able to explain, but listen to me. Okay, so it talked about the dead that is not going to, you know, rise, and that's the people that didn't receive Jesus. And they died, or, you know, they're dead because of the tribulation. They're dead because the earth ended, etc. All of us, remember, we're living 1,000 years and they're not. The devil's in a bottomless pit. He's controlled, in other words. We're living that 1,000 years without him. Praise God. Okay? Then after the 1,000 years, he's let loose to seduce and deceive all of those dead people. Now, here's where the confusion tries to come in, because a lot of Christians thinks, and I just disagree with this, that it's talking about the devil being able to deceive you and I even in these days. I don't believe that for one minute, because you can't line that up in any of the Word of God. Because according to John's Gospel, there's only one way to the Father in heaven. It's through Jesus, who is the way, the life. I mean, He's the truth, right? He's the only way to get to the Father in heaven. So it doesn't make sense why God would be able to deceive us into falling away from Jesus when we've lived with Him for 1,000 years without sin. Okay? So I believe what it's talking about is that He's going to deceive all of the ones that have already been following Him, but He's going to deceive them, trying to get them one last time to come against God's people. And there's thousands and thousands of those people. Matter of fact, you see here where it says it's like the number is like the sand in the sea. There's going to be a lot of people that try to come against God's people one last time, but it's not going to work, because I've read the end of the book. We are going to live a righteous, godly life from then on. Matter of fact, when you're present with the Lord, you'll be with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. But the bad news is, so is the devil and all of his people. They're going to live in torment forever and ever and ever and ever. Look at verse 9. These people, like the sand of the sea, the end of verse 8, And they swarmed up over the broad plain of the earth and encircled the fortress camp of God's people. That's you and I. The saints were born again people. And the beloved city, we're talking about Jerusalem, and I mean, it's going to be an awesome thing. But fire, look at this part. Oh, Jesus. This will make an Episcopalian shout right here. But fire descended from heaven and consumed them up. You find that in 2 Kings verse 1, 10 through 12. You find it in Ezekiel 38, 2 and 22. Listen to me. See, that kid don't want to go to hell either. Get him born again. Listen to me. We're going to live in an awesome, awesome way. Man, just sake of time, this won't take me very long. I promise. It's exactly 12, and most of the restaurants aren't open anyway. Listen to me. Verse 10. The devil who led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were. Remember the Antichrist? And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. Now this shouldn't scare you unless you're rebelling against God and you're not wanting to live for Him. Doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. That'll mess a lot of preachers up right there. Because there's one whole denomination that believes that if you sin and died without asking God to forgive you, you'll go to hell. Just so many things in this Bible that is not accurate that I believe God's finally getting to us in these last of the last days, caused by a stinking pandemic, where we're actually having eyes opened up. And we're starting to see that this playing church is no longer. This is who we are. We are believers in Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Jesus, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. The reason they become new is you start living by the Word of God. Right in the midst of living in a world, but not of a world. I mean, we have to live it. We're going to see the curse. We're going to see the devastation. We're going to see the disease and sickness. And it can come on some of us if we allow it. But when we build our faith and know who we are in Christ Jesus, that we can speak to the mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth. In other words, we can live by the Word of God in these days. We can live by Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the protection of God Almighty. The Word of God. In other words, we're not playing church anymore. Did I say it's going to stop you from being a good athlete? No. Is it going to stop you from winning a world championship? No. The Bible says if you'll submit yourself to God, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Just don't let those desires come before God. So here on earth, you can live victorious and not always being the victim. How can you do that, preacher? Seems like I go through one thing after another. You know what you need to do, probably? Maybe break some curses. You know, I know people that great-grandmama had breast cancer. Then grandma got breast cancer. Then mama got breast cancer, and they're having to tell their kids, okay, you better go get a mammogram because you're going to get breast cancer because it's come down the line of generations. Did you know you can break the generational curse off of you? It's going to continue to happen until you say no. That's what I did with Crohn's disease. I said, I know it came from an uncle up the line. My dad told me about it on his side. Before he died, he said, hey, there, right, Mom? I don't know if you remember this, but my dad told me one of his uncles or someone up the line had Crohn's disease, and that's how it came down and tried to attach itself to me. So what I did is I grabbed the Word of God and I spoke this, because the Bible says that you and I have power and authority in our mouth. And the authority is Jesus. Not Corey Ross, the preacher, Jesus. He has the name above every name. So I said out of my mouth, I break the curse, the generational curse of the disease called Crohn's, and I forbid its power to come down any further than where it started. It's broken off, it's sliced in half, it's gone in Jesus' name, and I am whole. Well, that's what we need to do. But we don't take this stuff serious. We just come and hear a good old feel-good message, and hopefully we're not worse off, you know, than when we came in. But man, when you find out the power of God that lives on the inside of you. Listen, is Jesus the Lord of your life? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you have the dunamis power. It lives on the inside of you. You're His instruments. You're the ones that's supposed to walk out in faith. You're supposed to be a light of the world, because Jesus, the light, lives on the inside of you. But see, we haven't been preached this. We've been preached those melting snow down messages. And we stop receiving the meat of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, those are called seeker-friendly churches. And they are big. They're in Austin. There'll be 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people that come. They don't say anything about what's in this Bible that might offend someone. No, you know what? That's why it's gotten more powerful. That's why men and women are allowed to marry. That is against God's rule of authority. You cannot be fruitful and multiply that way. Someone has to say, no, we love the person. We're not against the person. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the spirit that's trying to convince people that it's okay for a man and a man to marry. And it's not right. I mean, it gets you messed up when you preach this stuff on social media. We're not against the person. We're against the devil that is tempting them to do something that is not right in the eyes of God. We don't wish death on them. No, we wish deliverance in Jesus' name. Because there's a lot of people that have family members that are struggling with that stuff. And they come to this church. We're not against that stuff. We're against His power to try to overpower you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. And we're seeing that in our country right now. Okay. I think I'm through. Listen to me. Sin is sin. And we just have to understand it. It's part of the end times. Don't be afraid. No, if you got Jesus, no, we're going to continue to walk in love. We're not against people that are living in sin. You'll be surprised the people that have gotten married that were living together in this church. I mean, that was not allowed in the old days. Now it's accepted. Don't get mad at me. But it's time someone, and I'm telling you, that's why God's using the Western world, because it's the last known people that are still masculine. Men are men, and women can then be women, and women don't have to be a man. Because that's what happened. Men stopped being men, and then women had to take over their roles. And the old cowboys, man. There is a time when you got to quit talking. Bow your head and close your eyes. Father, every person in the sound of my voice, God, we operate in love. But Father, we need truth in these last days. That's the only thing that's going to save us. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the state of Texas. Father, if there's one person here in this auditorium or watching us that has never given their lives to Jesus, I ask you to draw them to you right now. I can't make them get saved, but you can draw their heart to you right now. So I just thank you, Lord, for doing that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I said I'm so grateful for the state of Texas, because I was one of the ones that testified in the state capitol for the pastor protection bill that we did a couple of years ago that protects me to be able to say what the Word of God says behind this podium. And I don't have to be in fear of getting sued or, you know, so thank God for Texas. Because I think that's a lot of it, is the fear of people coming against them for saying something that's in the Bible that they disagree with. Well, I don't want you to disagree with salvation, because again, John's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me," Jesus. So the question this morning is, when you leave this earth, are you going to heaven? Are you going to hell? Obviously, I want you to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to go to this place. You saw it. It's a lake of fire and brimstone that you'll live forever and ever to the end of the ages. That's forever, eternity. But you'll also live in heaven with Jesus if you receive Him as Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. So I'm asking you to give your life to Jesus. And what we're going to do is, all of us in here, even believers, are going to pray a prayer. You find it in Romans 10 and 9 if y'all don't know. It says, if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's how you give your life to Jesus. You ask Jesus to come into your life and be the Lord of your life. If you've never done that, I want you to do it right now. Y'all that are watching, I hope you're sharing this all over the country, because I want more people hearing the true gospel message of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying I won't make some mistakes, but we'll just all read it together in this Bible. But I want you to give your life to Jesus. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, we're all going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it out loud where our ears can hear it. We're going to confess Jesus is Lord. Y'all ready? If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know what would happen to you if you died, I want you to make heaven your home. And then you'll find out, while you live here, you can have heaven right here on earth. Amen. But it starts through receiving Jesus as Lord. So let's pray it just like this. Out of your mouth, say this. Believers, pray this as well. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Before I say amen, keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, please. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, here's what I want you to do, and I'm not going to embarrass you. With no one looking around, right where you're at, standing or sitting, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, I want you to be bold enough, just like Jesus was when He was crucified. He was bold enough to be crucified for me and you. And He was not ashamed to do it. Don't ever be ashamed to let people know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. So when I count to three, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer and you meant it for the first time, I want you to raise your hand up when I say three. It's saying, God, I meant that prayer. Thank you. I'm coming to heaven when I die. And I need you here on this earth. That's what you're doing by raising your hand up. And then just put it right back down when you do that. You ready? On the count of three, if you gave your life to Jesus, get that hand up in Jesus' name. Ready? One, two, three, go. Praise God. All right, everybody, look at me. There wasn't one single hand. That's amazing. But it's okay. I always think, though, invite people that's not saved. Because I'm here to tell you, when they see the power of God move in a service, they probably have never seen that before. That's what attracts people to the kingdom. It doesn't attract anybody when there's deadness in a church, where there's no life. But I'm telling you, God is powerful in Jesus' name. Yes, ma'am.
Can I say something?
Yeah, but I want to do it in a microphone. Hey, just real fast. The blue mic.
I didn't know whether to say this morning or not, but when he was praying, he said, thank you for the state of Texas. Y'all, God's doing something here. And I don't know who else saw it, but there was something that somebody posted that said they had a vision about the state of Texas, that God was purifying it for such a time as this. And I don't know if y'all noticed, but not just part of Texas, but the whole state of Texas. Every county in the state of Texas. And I know some people got hard hit, but my cousin from Oklahoma was calling. It was Texas went through this thing now. And in this what this person saw, there was a person and a huge light in the state of Texas, and I'm thinking to myself, well, that was Jesus. It was John the Baptist saying, prepare me the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And I do think all of us went through a purification process. I didn't. We had time to search our hearts. We had time to get in the Word. And that's what this time is for. But it said at the end of it that Texas is going to be the light that pushes back the power of darkness in this nation. And I saw it just resonated in my spirit. It just resonated in my spirit. Because there is an anointing on God's people in this state. He has equipped us. And Brother Corey said the Western world is God's people, these people, God has anointed us for such a time as this. He has anointed us for such a time as this. Let him purify you just as he did our land. I think he killed every mosquito, every flea.
Think about that.
Everything, you know, and let the Lord, let the Lord purify.
Hope he took care of scorpions.
Yes, purify you. I just want to say, you know, I was talking about Carmen.
Okay.
I was looking at Carmen the other night after all this happened and everything, but he sang that song, y'all. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Y'all sing it with me. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord.
Would you give her a hand? Yes. God bless you, girl. Thank you. Love you. Amen. Come on.
For a second, but you know how Pastor Corey just said, you know, I hope you killed the scorpions. Well, guess what? I was watching a Kim Clement prophecy, and I want you guys to open up YouTube, and I want you, whenever you get home, to look him up. He passed away in 2016, but he was a true prophet of God. And he prophesied. He prophesied two presidencies. And he also prophesied that there was a cure for cancer. And one of the cures for cancer was the poison of a scorpion. It killed cancer cells. And it was in a video not soon after a lady was cured of brain cancer that had it four times. Four times. And she no longer has it. She's alive today. And he prophesied that in December. And that happened to her in December as a last-ditch effort. The doctors just did something crazy, and she was healed. It was amazing. God is doing something in this nation. And he wants us to prophesy that joy is coming in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
What is done in the dark will come to light.
I agree. Yes.
It is happening right now before our eyes. And God wants us to tell everybody. You can open your Facebook page or whatever social media you follow. And you know, I'm telling you lately, I've been seeing a lot of positivity on our page. What she said about Texas, that ain't no lie, y'all. I've been seeing so many people helping each other. It's amazing. You know, everybody's been coming together, and I want to tell you something. You know, Valentine's Day night, we were staying at the Kalahari, and it was just coming down. Snow was coming. And that same night, you know what? It was snowing in Jerusalem, y'all. Snowing in Jerusalem. And God says when he wants to speak to you, he makes moves like that. He's speaking to us right now. And it's incredible. What is done in the dark will come to light. And whenever we got back home, we had people come together for us. We were able to go to one of our welders' house that works for us occasionally and go take showers. We had another one of our welders come over and help fix the pipes in our well. And, you know, in turn, he got a customer too, you know, because we have our own little water supply company in our own little neighborhood with seven houses because the houses were built in the 70s. But you know what? We had people come together. Mm-hmm. And we had people help us. And it was really, really incredible.
Isn't God
but
good?
God wants
Amen.
Us to prophesy that. Joy is coming.
Joy is coming. It's here.
Love it. Here.
Good. Bless you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's go home. How many of you know that Jesus, he doesn't stay here? The Bible says he never leaves us or forsakes us. So, let's go home with him. Be a blessing. Y'all that were here for the first time, it's an honor to have you. I was raised in, I tell you, I'm serious, a structured, you know, we were out at 5 minutes till because we had to beat the Methodists to the first cafeteria. And thank y'all. Love you guys very much. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time this morning. As we go through the week, you don't stay here. You get to go with us. Again, you never leave us. You never forsake us. So, Father, as we go and we fix a few things that are broken at the house, I thank you, Lord, that we do receive that joy that Nehemiah talked about is our strength, because we need the joy of the Lord. And so we just walk in that. We walk in the presence. We thank you, Lord, for people to continue to come to this church to hear the gospel. So, Father, help us. God, help me. We love you. I can see what's going on here, sir. And, Father, I want to be a part of it. So move in this place. We love you. We appreciate you in Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.